I haven't gotten any sleep in like a week, and my throat hurts, so I don't know if I'll be able to yell today.
I'm sure you'll find the energy within.
What?
Yeah, there it is.
I mean, I'll try, but I'm really tired. I want to die. But before I die, let's talk about the 2000s. It is a new year, Catherine.
You almost smacked me in the face.
It is a new year. New year, new you, new metal. Oh, wow.
Sure enough.
I'm going to say anything new. Anything new will now be spelled N-U.
Yeah, I was going
to... With a umlaut.
Great.
Yeah, that's how it should be. This is the last great rock wave, according to Jonathan Davis, that will ever happen in rock music.
Who's Jonathan Davis again? Help me.
He's the lead of Korn.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. He said that, and I thought about it, which is why we're doing this episode. I thought about it, and I was just like, I think he's kind of right. Like, that's the last big rock genre ever. Like, you can't name a big one right now. It's all indie.
Yeah, it's all really indie. Is.
Like, dream pop is not a big wave.
Like, you know? I listen to a bunch of, like, 90s and 2000s grunge rock all the time, hoping that my Discover Weekly will someday reflect it. Mm-hmm. And still, all it is indie rock and indie pop. And I am so sick of it.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. There is a time and place.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But honestly, how many of those bands are selling out arenas? Like, these bands sold out arenas, like, nonstop.
Yeah.
Like, they killed at festivals.
Yeah.
And other bands just don't,
Once upon a time, it was mainstream.
Once upon a time. And we will talk about that time.
Sure will.
Before we get into that, I have a little thing I found. So, famous heavy metal, new metal band Slipknot is collaborating with Supreme.
Also, just so you know, he did hand quotes, like air quotes.
On heavy metal and new metal.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to define Slipknot. I really don't know what it is.
You need to verbalize that. This is a podcast, Jason.
Yeah, I know. But you guys can see it, so
someday
it's fine.
Someday this will be a web series.
Someday. Yeah, so they are teaming up with Supreme. And they're going to make new merch. So now their $20 shirts at Hot Topic will now cost $100. Because Supreme. In my opinion, new metal is underrated. And even though it lasted a very short amount of time.
From what I understand, like, I was doing a lot of... I read the controversy section.
Oh my god. The controversy section of anything on Wikipedia is my favorite section.
Well, the entire section was basically different bands and artists... completely shitting on new metal, saying that it's awful.
Oh, yeah.
And then bands who are considered new metal saying, I wouldn't consider myself new metal.
Yeah. So basically, bands are considered new metal, but they refuse to acknowledge that they are new metal. Yeah.
One person, I forget who, specifically said that new metal is the most hated music genre. They claimed it. I'm not saying this is a fact, but I'm saying this person...
Wow, really?
...that it's the most hated on music genre, because it's
not
so,
country?
I think just no one really respects it, especially since it was short-lived.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, well, it's short-lived because it sucks.
Yeah.
Like, that's how... And a lot of the bands that claimed they weren't new metal, it was either because they were like, I don't want to be pigeonholed, or...
Too bad, bro.
Or it was because they were like... One specific one, I forget who, said that, because when it goes down, I don't want to go down with them.
It's probably Frank Durst. That's probably Frank Durst.
And that's specifically. And Jonathan Davis from Korn specifically were like, oh, I don't think we're new metal. I think it's called new metal because of all the bands that followed us because we created a new genre. We're not new metal or metal. We're just Korn. And I'm like.
That's not a genre, John. Not a genre, bro.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
You guys are new metal. You guys are new metal. Like,
you're new metal.
Yeah, you're new metal.
Sorry, I don't believe in labels. It's like, just get over it, you're new metal.
Yeah, dude, you're new metal. A lot of bands hated being called new metal, but they were fucking new metal.
Yeah.
Like, this, it was basically in the mid-90s when it was happening, but blew up. To me, after Woodstock 99.
Yeah.
Like, that's when nu metal exploded. Yeah. And also...
Yes, that was definitely on the...
Yes. This will always... Like, Woodstock 99 will always be referenced. Always. Also, just a big news. Catherine and I will be going to Woodstock this year.
Oh, wow. That's not confirmed.
We are going. Okay. I don't care. We're going. We're taking the podcast on the road.
I'm poor.
We're going, dude.
If Jason pays. Well,
what's pay the travel, I'll pay the tickets.
Well, preparing for this episode, one thing I looked up is specifically how to define nu metal, because I didn't really, like, I knew what it meant to me, and I knew bands that were considered nu metal, but I didn't know
exactly how it was defined. It's hard to define, but when you hear it, you can tell.
Yeah. And so I found a bunch of things to kind of state how it is distinguished from metal.
Yeah. It's not Metallica metal.
Right. And so one of the things was, one of the main things was, like, it's metal that pulls from other genres, like hip-hop,
yeah,
or grunge, etc. So...
And funk.
Considering this, my question for you is, Poppy's X considered nu metal?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think Poppy is nu metal.
Because that was one of the first things I thought of. Because I don't think...
I think it's pop metal. It's pop metal.
All of her music is not.
No.
But I think from this past album, I think there are at least a couple songs that could be considered nu metal.
If that is the rising wave, I'm very excited.
Yeah, I was going to say, Poppy is going to bring back
nu metal. Could you imagine Lady Gaga doing metal?
I would love to see Lady Gaga do something.
Just like the mound of gays in the arena just moshing.
The gayest mosh pit.
The gayest mosh pit ever. Everyone just loses their shit.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Korn first, because that is our...
I mean, obviously.
That is a band that I was surprised that you liked.
Yeah.
And that blew my mind, because that's a band you feel weird bringing up.
Yeah.
Because you can talk about anyone else, but, like, hey, do you guys listen to Korn? Like, it's a band you'd never bring up.
Well, nu metal was a genre that I never realized I liked, because I had never really heard the term nu metal until a little while ago. And then when I started looking up bands considered nu metal, I'm like, oh my god. So all that stuff that I listened to when I was younger was very much nu metal. I listened to a lot of nu metal.
You were a nu metalhead.
Like, I was playing the Spotify nu metal playlist, and I'm like, I know almost all of these songs.
It fucking bops, dude.
I'm like, man, all right.
Being 8 years old was a huge awakening for me in terms of, like, music. Because Korn was the first rock band I remember hearing ever.
Yeah.
That was the first band. Also, the Korn, the R in their name is in reverse because they're so cool.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Because they're edgy.
Yeah.
I heard Freak on a Leash and Falling Away from Me on my old Windows 98 on Napster when my cousin downloaded it and left it there. And I was like, oh, let me listen to this stuff. And it was just like, I was like, this is insane. What is this?
Freak on a Leash is so iconic
in the new metal genre.
Like, not only, like, again, this playlist I was listening to, Freak on a Leash is the first song, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, dude.
And when I was reading through all of this new metal research and stuff, the song that has been stuck in my head literally all morning since then has been Freak on a Leash.
Yeah.
It is still playing on a loop in my head right now as we speak.
Get a job as a barista at Starbucks and just play that song on repeat and then quit.
Dark Starbucks. I'm gonna make a metal...
Dark Bucks.
Well, have you ever heard of, like, someone did, like, a parody of Starbucks called, like, Dumb Starbucks or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
And they basically can't get sued by Starbucks because they put dumb in front of everything, so it's considered a parody. I'm gonna do Metal Starbucks.
Metal Starbucks.
It's Starbucks, but metal.
Yeah. I like it. And every latte comes with a fifth of whiskey. Like... There's a bunch of Jack Daniels in, like, every cup you fucking buy. We were just, before we started recording, we were talking about Freak Unleashed and the music video. If you haven't seen that video, you should really watch it.
Yeah. I got 2 minutes in, so I say I have a pretty good frame of reference.
The editing, to me, is very ahead of its time. And the way it was shot was, like, I thought it was really cool. For, like, 98, 99, I'm like, this is pretty bomb.
Oh, yeah. So the whole insane first part that's animated,
uh-huh,
I specifically wrote down a note that it makes, it reminds me of, like, a fan video.
Yes.
Where people take a bunch of footage from, like, a show or a movie.
And they splice edit it together.
And so it was like someone took some animated show and then edited it together to Korn.
So,
which is something that people do. So, like, it's a very believable thing. That's I wonder if there are any Sim music videos for Korn.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to look it up.
Make one. There is... Oh, why not? I've always been interested in, like, where the cartoon inspiration came from. Because when you watch that music video and watching the music video for Falling Away From Me, it ends where that video begins where the last video ends, where like all the kids are running away from that cop. I'm not. So Catherine found a Sim Korn music video.
Yeah. Sims 2, To Kill You. You're
Jesus
welcome.
Jesus Christ.
I'm definitely going to watch that. I'm adding it to my watch later.
I've always wondered, like, if that album had dropped in this era, that they could have put out, like, a comic or a mini web series to go along with the album.
That would have been really cool.
I was super interested in, like, these crazy fucking kids that were playing hopscotch on, like, a cliff.
Yeah.
I was like, where's the rest of this cartoon? So interested in this
shit. I was really confused. At first when I saw it, I'm like, okay, what is this animation? I'm very confused. And then it was going, and then it switched to not animation. I'm like, what happened to the animation? Where is it?
Yeah, I was like, where are these, like, hellish kids? Like, I want to know more about this shit.
Yeah.
There was a song that I discovered, Blind. I didn't know that was ever them, because I remember hearing it in so many movie trailers way back in the day.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's Korn? And I was just like, I had no idea. And when it's just like, when it goes over, are you ready?
That
was just like, I didn't know idea that was them. That's the song you hear. And if you look up just any 2000s movie, you're going to hear that song.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was in so many movies. It's unreal. Adidas was a song you never heard of.
I listened to it this morning.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, I wasn't really paying super close attention because I was like doing something else while I was listening to it. But every now I caught a few lyrics and I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, all day I dream about sex.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh,
at least he's honest.
Speaking of Adidas, one thing I found is that there was a whole section that was different fashion things.
Yeah, tracksuits.
And specifically Adidas track suits was one of the
Jonathan Davis things. Was huge on track suits.
In addition, Frosted Tips.
Yes, absolutely. So, Frosted Tips were like the big thing in the 2000s.
Yeah.
And it's very, just like look up any Korn band picture and Jonathan Davis is always in like a track suit or a skirt. Like either or.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so, I was like, that's so metal. Like he just looks like a retired pimp whenever he's in a track suit.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
so funny. He's like super baggy. He's like, looks tired. Oh, what the fuck was it? So here's a funny thing. Before they dropped their Follow the Leader album, their hugest album to date, an assistant principal in Zeeland, Michigan, suspended a kid for wearing a Korn t-shirt and referred to their music as indecent, vulgar, obscene, and intends to be insulting.
It's true. I love it.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking great. And so WKLQ, shout out, started handing out free Korn t-shirts that were donated by the band outside the school.
Amazing.
So everyone just coming in got a free Korn shirt. And even the local cops helped hand them out too.
That's amazing.
And then Korn, being the hardcore badasses that they are, filed a cease and desist against that principal and threatened a multi-million dollar lawsuit. But then they dropped the cases. I was just like, how butthurt are you that some little white lady was just like, I hate your music. Well, fuck you! And
yeah, really.
We're going to write a song about you. I do commend the band. They get a lot of flack because, like, after Issues, Follow the Leader, my two favorite albums, they just sucked. Like, their guitarist left, their drummer quit at some point. And then the genre died, and so kind of they died off too.
Well, apparently they're of the big band of the big new metal bands. They're one of the only ones that still is making new metal music.
Yeah,
because almost all of them have either stopped making music altogether, or have gone to either a completely different genre, or like have gone to just
contemporary
more
metal
or more. Yeah, yeah. So
it's not a genre.
It's sad.
I just realized the panda on your charger.
Yeah, it's called a chomper.
This is like half a human centipede. Panda centipede, it's just like ass to mouth.
I don't remember what it is. The lion.
A chomper.
Something, I don't know.
The Freak Unleashed music video won a Grammy, which is wild to think about.
Yeah.
It won 2 VMAs for Best Editing, Best Rock Video. Weirdly, the song didn't break the top 100, mm-hmm. which is, like, wild to me. There's an acoustic version with Amy Lee singing it during a set. And wild. Her collabing with Korn. Issues was good. Falling Away From Me is, like, my favorite song ever. It's about domestic abuse. And the video is really good because the actors really sell it. I remember watching it as a kid. I was just like, this is really fucking dark and heavy. Like, homegirl's crying throughout the whole video. And, like, her dad in the video hits her, like really hard. And she's, like, just crying. It's, like, really intense. And then as the thing goes on, kids from the neighborhood start showing up and, like, I guess protecting her in a way. And the whole thing is, like, she keeps, like, the whole band in, like, a box. And when she opens it, they start playing. And her dad gets fucking pissed. I guess he doesn't like new metal. Yeah, so... what else did I write? Making Bad is also an underrated song on that album. And I love the video because Shannon Sossaman is in it. You know who she is? Mm. She was in A Knight's Tale.
Oh, yes.
Yes, okay. That's her. And the whole thing is about drug abuse and how Jonathan tried to get sober. All this stuff. But, and then I will say this. 2005, I was in middle school, and I didn't know they were still making music. I thought they had, like, quit for, like, a while and then came back. But they dropped a new album, and they dropped the music video for Twisted Transistor, which is one of my favorite music videos ever, because basically they grabbed Lil Jon, Xzibit, David Banner, and Snoop Dogg to play them as if they were black. If Korn was black, it would be them.
Oh my God.
And the music video is hilarious. Like, it's just them trying to be a band and Snoop Dogg being, like, the worst member. And he's just, like, at, like, meet and greet. And he just throws pens at, like, all the fans. He's like, fuck this, man. I don't need this shit. I'm trying to be an artist. And it's just this whole thing. It's just a big parody on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty funny. Oh, God. We now have to talk about the hugest bro band ever, Limp Bizkit.
You love Limp Bizkit.
That is correct.
Great.
I'm doing that throughout this entire section.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that when, you know, like when you watch a Seinfeld episode and you hear like the slappy bass?
Yeah.
When I walk in, that should just happen. This is like me after like
it's tequila. It's like a more metal version of the Jaws theme. Like, yeah. I need that one part on loop. So it sounds like the Jaws theme.
Yeah, it's just like happening all the time.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Whenever Jason comes, that just plays.
These guys destroyed Woodstock. These guys ruined it. They are the ones. So
it's true.
If you have a person to blame, along with the rest of the whole lineup, they blame them. They were former BFFs with Korn, but then after Woodstock, they had a beef. They, like, hated each other, which is so...
classic.
Men in new metal and rock music during this time were so petty. Like,
yeah, everyone, I was gonna say, they all hated each other.
They never liked each other. I don't get it.
There's like, one particular story. Let me
Everyone now is, like, real cool with each other and likes each other. There's very rare that you see rock beefs anymore.
Yeah.
Because everyone's so chill now. But back then, it was everywhere. Like, everyone hated Creed. Everyone hated Limp. Everyone hated Korn. It's this whole thing. And it's hilarious. Like, imagine... So, Limp Bizkit is just suburban white kids who listen to a lot of Metallica and rap music at the same time. And thought, we should do this. And the first time I listened to them, if I remember correctly, it was the Faith music video where they covered George Michael. Have you never heard this song?
No.
Have you heard the George Michael version?
I don't know.
Fuck. I should just play it. And then the Nookie. Do you know the Nookie?
Would you do it all for the Nookie? A lot of their music, I know.
Stick it up your yeah.
I know, like, if I a lot of their music, I would know it if I hear it. I don't know the names of their music.
You just hear Fred Durst
because I didn't really actively listen to Limp Bizkit a lot.
No. It was only on MTV.
So they're one of those. They're lumped in with those bands where it's like I know their music, oh, but yeah. I don't know it's their music.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
When you hear Roland and shit, like it's yeah. You know it's them.
But okay, so this. So they've said that Rage Against the Machine is like a big influence of Limp Bizkit, yeah. right? But Rage Against the Machine hates Limp Bizkit.
Oh, yeah.
Like they hate yeah. him. And at the 2000 MTV Music Video Awards.
I remember watching this shit yeah, live.
So Limp Bizkit won the Best Rock Video category. I knew where this story was going. Great stuff. And Rage Against, and they beat Rage Against the Machine, Sleep in the Fire.
Yeah.
So when Limp Bizkit went to go on stage to go accept their award, Comerford went on stage and climbed all the way up the backdrop and was like rocking back and forth. And he got arrested and spent the night in jail.
Yep.
I'm like, so, they were really that.
So basically, Limp Bizkit won, and the bass player from Rage got on top of like the awning of the set and just kept rocking back and forth. And Limp was just, and Fred Durst was like, jump, dude, jump. And he just kept rocking back and forth and just being like a dick. And he was like, well, okay, you know, it's whatever, man. And then after that, rumor is that that pissed off the rest of Rage Against the Machine, and that's when the band like ended.
Well, also, like,
I'll never forget that moment.
Years after all of this happened, Comerford, he specifically was quoted saying, I do apologize for Limp Bizkit. I really do. I feel really bad that we inspired such bullshit.
Yeah.
They're gone, though. That's the beautiful thing.
Weirdly enough, they're still huge in Europe.
That's hilarious.
They're still, like, Europe, like, there's music that just really clicks in certain regions.
Yeah.
Like, heavy metal clicks in, like, Latin America heavy.
Really?
It clicks heavy down in Latin America. And in Europe, they still love this shit. Like, they still headlined festivals. Like, a few years ago, they were, like, headliners.
Smash Mouth is probably, like, really huge in some random country in Europe.
Limp Bizkit is basically rap metal Smash Mouth.
Yeah.
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 Like, the goatee, the hair, the frosted tips. Yeah, so they covered Faith by George Michael, and it's just a bad karaoke version. And so I have a theory that this band was originally a George Michael cover band.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but they would just do heavy metal covers of George Michael songs.
God, I hope so.
Yeah. But they only did one, which ended up, which is like, what's supposed to be about a cover is like, it doesn't sound like the original, and it does not sound like the original at all. It's just a bad rendition of it.
Yeah.
But in their own way, it sounds good. And like, the whole video is just a bunch of BTS with them and Korn on tour, and they're just like, they're selling out arenas, and they're just people partying, like just white people going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you gotta have faith! And it's the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's the most 2000s thing ever. Like, it's super funny.
Oh, do you remember in that Facebook group that we're both in, there was that emo rap band, and we played a little
bit. Oh my god, no!
Remember how bad they were? Do you remember their name?
No! It was so bad.
So them, a derivative of nu metal is emo rap, which makes me ask the question, where does this band stand?
Before emo rap, because there's nothing emo about this band.
No, they're just garbage.
But
I think they're considered emo rap, even if we don't agree.
I mean, there are some songs that they've done where they talk about, like, heavy shit, but it's like, break stuff. It's like their greatest song, and it's just about them being angry and wanting to break stuff.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite stories from that album is the bassist from Primus, Les Claypool. They asked him to record the intro, and Claypool said, I came in and they wanted me to write some sort of intro for the record. I got stoned and got in front of the mic and started to babble, and they ended up not using the intro and just using that instead.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
That would be me, who put in the babbling.
So when they played Breaks Up at Woodstock, Fred Durst said, people are getting hurt. Like, he told the crowd, people are getting hurt. Don't let anybody get hurt. But I don't think you should mellow out. That's what Alanis Morissette had you motherfuckers do. If someone falls, pick them up. We already let out the negative energy. Now we let out the positive energy. And it proceeded to tell people to give me something to break. People just took apart everything.
Right.
And lost their fucking shit. About your fucking face.
I love Alanis Morissette. It's just one of those days when you don't want to wake up. Pause it!
This is like the song anthem that gets white guys amped. That just gets like big hetero bros like amped.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, you put them in a room with this song, everything is going to be destroyed.
Like when we said when we went to go see Fiddler, and he was like, this song's about drinking beer.
The song's about beer! And people just lost their minds.
All the white boy high schoolers were like,
woo! I was like, you guys aren't old enough for this shit. My favorite part of that show is watching all the women mosh and like push each other. And just, there was that one chick that crowd surfed at least 5 times. And after each time, she looked more disoriented than the last.
Yeah.
And she hadn't been totally hammered, but she was just in it. And at some point, the singer was just like, all right, guys, sexual harassment is not cool. So for this song, no dicks allowed, female only mosh pit. And the surge of women running from the bar and the outside of the crowd into the middle was just insane.
Well, moshing is, I imagine, significantly less fun if you're a woman because, you know, sexual harassment.
Yeah. But if there's, like, more than 20 of you, I'm sure it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, I remember watching that because I never understood moshing. And then I was watching it and I'm like, I think I get it now. It's still not something I particularly want to do.
Yeah, you're not at height requirement.
Shut the fuck up. But, like, I do understand it now.
Yes. Do you understand the feeling?
Yeah. But one thing I learned while researching, the song Bodies by Drowning Pool is about moshing. Bodies, and I never made that, bodies, I never made that connection.
The singer from that band died in the back of a van. He OD'd.
Yeah, I think you told me that.
Yeah,
before.
He OD'd in the back of a van. I remember watching this on MTV News as a kid still. I was just kind of chilling there watching whatever, and they announced that he passed away in, like, the back of a car. I was like, holy shit. And he was going to have a future. Like, he had a great voice. Like, he was going to have a future, and he OD'd. So, anyway. Oh. Back to shitty band, Limp Bizkit.
Great.
I want to say shitty band, but fun band. Because when you hear the shit, you're just
shitty,
like,
in the best kind of way.
In the best kind of way.
Because they can be shitty and still be fun.
Have you seen the Break Stuff music video?
No.
Where it's just like, it's just a million cameos. So Snoop Dogg's in it, Eminem, Dr. Dre, Haley, Eminem's daughter's in it.
Who all were later like, I don't like new metal.
I hate new metal. Alec Baldwin is in the fucking music video. Pauly Shore, Derek Jeter, Roger Daltrey, Bam Margera, Bucky Lassick, and comedian Richard Lewis, and Flea from Chili Peppers.
All those name-droppy people.
It's just, I don't know. It is a very, and it won for best rock video. And it's just like one shot. Well, there's like maybe 2 or 3 shots in the whole music video, but it's just one shot and people singing the lyrics to the camera. And it just cuts between like all these different people. And there's like a kid in it too, doing like the music videos. And it's just like women and like just everyone they could find. I'm sure around like that lot that they were filming in to just pull them in.
Starts pulling in crew.
Yeah.
That's the way it's done.
So also at the 2000 VMAs, because if there was a full recording on YouTube somewhere on the internet of this specific award show, it is iconic, the 2000s VMAs. Dust performed Living It Up with Christina Aguilera, and in response to the performance, frontman for a band called Filter said, Fred getting on stage with Christina Aguilera embarrassed us all. In response to the negative reactions, Durst said, I already told you guys before, I did it all for the Nookie, man. To which Christina said, he got no Nookie. I mean, that's 2000s as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, Fred Durst is just like, Fred Durst is that kid that got held back in 8th grade 3 times.
Yeah, sounds weird.
And cracks the same jokes to new kids and just gets less funny as it goes on. Funny tidbit, Fred Durst hated the lead of Creed, Scott Stapp, and called him an egomaniac, so they sent Durst an autographed anger management manual. Men were very catty during this age.
Clearly.
Very, very fucking catty. Like, I the amount of metal beefs is so hilarious.
Well, men are too emotional.
No, we're not, man. Shut up. My leg is asleep.
Tell it to wake the fuck up.
Fuck. Oh, man. Yeah, I was really asleep.
Jason's old and dying.
Shut up. I just have bad circulation.
Exactly.
It's not the same thing. I want to dive into Raging Against the Machine real quick, because that to me is like new metal. Rap metal more than anything. But they were very much pioneers of new metal.
Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
But they hate new metal.
But they hate new metal, but they are new metal.
Yeah.
Rap, they're more rap metal than anything. But I want to specifically talk about their album, Battle for Los Angeles. Have you heard this album?
Again, I don't know. I don't know their albums. I know some of their songs.
I feel like you would love this shit. I feel like you would love this specific
album. Probably. I know Rage Against the Machine and I like their music. I don't know their albums. I know individual
It's like the last album they put out. Because technically the last one they put out was just a cover album. So this is the last one.
Like that.
Well, they haven't been around. They haven't been around in 19 years.
Yeah.
Like making new. They reunited.
So most of my life.
They've reunited, but they haven't like made new shit.
Yeah. So the most of my life.
Oh my god, that's true. Yeah. Wow. You're so young.
I am.
Oh, my leg is asleep.
I'm a buddy young fetus. Jason's still dying over here, by the way. He's just...
I've had my legs crossed for like 30 minutes. I just want to die.
You want a pillow?
I am on a pillow.
Another pillow for your butt.
No. No. Hold on.
He just has to suffer. That's the new metal way.
This is like the first podcast where you hear someone actually dying.
Jason's going to write a new metal song about the suffering he's going through right now.
Yeah, it's going to be called Blood Loss. Battle for Los Angeles was nominated... Wait, hold on, am I wrong? Won a Grammy for Best Hard Rock Song and for Guerrilla Radio. And the Best Hard Rock category for the Grammys stopped in 2011. So hard rock from then on is dead. It does not exist anymore.
I feel like it's not... Yeah, I feel like it's... Hard rock at least nowadays, it's not really respected.
It's like, people just don't like it anymore. Like, they... No. I really don't...
People aren't
angry anymore.
In this day and age, since that one year, 2016, I feel like there's enough rage
by
now
the time that we it put this, come back. By the time we put this episode out, the government will still be shut down.
Oh, my God.
The government will still be shut down. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think people are more angry than ever.
Which is why new metal needs to come back.
New metal, rage metal needs to come back. Rage Against the Machine should fucking come back. Like, Time Magazine and Rolling Stone declared this album the best album of 1999.
Damn.
Do you know how, like, that's insane.
Yeah.
For Time Magazine to call you the best album of a year, that takes a lot. And they were more than new metal, because new metal, to so many people, no wonder why they hated it, because they sounded so gimmicky.
Yeah.
And it sounded like just like a label
people,
thing.
Yeah, people called it like fake metal and like whiny metal.
Yeah. True metalheads were just like, yeah, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
True metalheads are the worst people ever.
What's like that term that people use? Like gatekeeping.
Gatekeeping, yes.
Yeah, where they're just like, elitist. Not true metal.
It's not true metal, bro. Whatever. You and your fucking worn out Pantera shirt.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Brody.
Gatekeeping is bullshit.
Yeah, don't be a gatekeeper, bro. Be a gate opener. Yeah, they were more rap metal early on. They were nominated for Best Rock Album in 2001. And guess who they lost to?
Who?
The Foo Fighters.
Fucking
Foo Fighters. They were also nominated with... This is peak 2001, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They were also nominated with Bon Jovi, Matchbox 20, and No Doubt.
Amazing.
That was the rock music that was in 2001. This is the album I got into when I was a kid, also 8 years old. So being 8 was like just a barrage of new metal in my face. Testify, the music. So Testify came out, and this was during the 2000 election when Gore and Bush were going on. So everyone was heated. And when I saw the Testify music video, I never wanted to be a protesting rage monster than I did at that moment. I was just like, I want to join a riot. I want to break shit. But it was meaning behind like this heavy, crazy music. And so there's live video of them performing outside the DNC. And there's just a massive crowd and they're just screaming, fuck you, I'm going to do what you tell me. So after the show, people started rioting, and then there were gasps, there were tear gas, mace, chased down by horses, cops on horses and shit. It's an insane, if I could find a video, I'll show it to you. It's fucking crazy. And I'm like, bands don't do that anymore.
No.
Bands don't get people in a frenzy like that anymore.
No.
They just show up, party, and then leave.
Yeah.
No one, I've never seen people like lose their shit and like really feel something at a show. Very rarely.
Yeah.
Like they don't get people into frenzy anymore. I don't know what it is. Oh God. But you should definitely listen to this album. Testify, Sleep Now in the Fire, where they filmed outside Wall Street, War Within a Breath. I know most of these songs on the bass and guitar, which should not be a surprise
to you. Yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, so before...
Do you know any Korn on the bass and or guitar?
Fuck no, because like they play such a... they play so low that I don't want to detune my whole guitar for that. That's shit. Fair. I don't want to do that. That's fair. So it's just more of laziness.
Buy a new guitar just for Korn.
I have... No. I have one more band to talk about, and only because it's important to the culture. Linkin Park.
Yeah, yeah.
LP. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace, Chester.
They're another one where they're like, we're not new metal. And it's like, but you are...
You're angsty.
You're really new metal.
You're big. Like, yeah, they're they're quintessential new metal.
Yeah.
Quintessential. And so, before... New metal fizzled out in like mid early 2000s. They dropped Hybrid Theory, and it's the only album, I think, the only album out of all new metal albums to go diamond.
I actually own that album.
I do not own that album. I owned Meteora.
I had that one too.
Yeah. But I should own these albums on vinyl.
That's true. Yeah.
These are vinyl worthy.
My only, like, I've talked about this before, is my only issue with Linkin Park is, like, to me, they didn't age well at all.
No.
Like,
no,
I don't no. want to listen to Linkin Park anymore. I did back in the day, but I really don't want to anymore.
It is not a thing you listen to alone. No. You know? This is shit I listen to when I'm at the gym, or when we're with a group of friends, and we just feel crazy. We just go back and play, like, random ass music.
Like, imagine you're, like, grocery shopping and Linkin Park comes on and you're just like, okay, this isn't...
You're shopping with your parents and you're just, like, reminded
like,
of everything.
Like, this isn't the mood, but also...
You're just trying to buy kale chips and, like, you just hear...
Oh, my God. Oh, God, I don't like kale chips. Who do you think I am, Jason?
I don't know, dude. You bake your own bread.
Yeah, that's for money. It's cheaper.
So, to date, that album has sold 30 million records worldwide. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Chester, honestly, this band, without Chester, this band is nothing. This band is nothing.
True.
He made that band. Mike Shinoda is cool and all, but he can't sing, and he can't belt out those heavy vocals.
Yeah, yeah.
Out into the world.
Well, because Linkin Park, like, their vocals is, like, a huge, huge part of the music.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's one of the only reasons I really listened.
Yeah.
Because other than that, they're just kind of sloppy rapping and power chords.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, you're really
like,
in it.
It's like Fall Out Boy would be nothing without Patrick Stump, and that's just how it is.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Yeah. Yeah.
It's because the vocals.
Linkin Park, if anything, they are great at creating these melodies that were very well constructed. And everyone, it felt like a rock orchestra. Like, everyone was very integral to each part of the song.
Yeah.
And so, like, no one could slack. One Step Closer, the first time watching that video of just Chester with the bleach hair and Mike Shinoda with the red spikes, it doesn't age well, but it's so iconic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Paper Cuts, Crawling, A Place for My Head. I love that song. And also, Linkin Park was that band that if you looked up anime music videos, this was the band that was used the most. Especially with like a Naruto music video that mm-hmm. people would just slice up together. The amount of angst in these albums is astronomically off the charts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It just brings out your angst.
That's like, one of the reasons why nowadays you don't just sit and listen to Linkin Park.
No, you just don't sit. It's not a alone music anymore because you're not 12 anymore.
I know someone who does, though, and it's someone that you know as well. And I know because I'm friends with them on Spotify, and the amount that they listen to Linkin Park is insane. Oh. It'll be on their Snapchat, too.
Oh. Oh my god, that fucking girl. Woo! Oh my god.
They'll have Snapchats where they're just sitting in their car listening to
Linkin Park. Dude, yeah, well, they have those all the time. Like, dude, like, what? No way.
Constantly.
No, that's very true, though. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking? I had a feeling it was out of, like, one or three white people. And I was like, this is that white. Yeah. I had a friend.
They were crazy broken.
I had a friend. Chester died. Oh, God. So I had a friend who was the hugest Linkin Park fan. She was also the hugest fan of the worst music sometimes. Because mm-hmm. she was a big fan of Odd Future when they were huge. Mm-hmm. And got the initials of the band tattooed in the inside of her lip.
Absolutely.
And then she was also an ICP fan and got like the little ICP logo tattooed in her arm, and she got the LP tattooed on like her other arm. She was just a fan of like some of the worst music sometimes.
Absolutely.
And she tried to so Linkin Park after Meteora sucked. Like that is the truest fact ever. Meteora was like pinnacle. Dude, what the hot country. Oh, it's so fucking gross. Jeez, hot country.
Just so you know.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
After Hybrid Theory, after Meteora was like the most poppy album because there were so many songs that just are so catchy. But yeah, I'm like, yeah. All these songs, not Numb, mm-hmm. Somewhere I Belong, Lying From You, Faint. I could just go on. Yeah, and yeah. So after that, they dropped Minutes to Midnight, and that's when I just stopped. That was when they got super huge, when, like, they had that one song on the Transformers movie.
Yeah.
What I've Done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's when they just blew up.
Okay, so, quick interjection.
Yes.
So, the way, I think, like, thinking back over it this morning, I think what actually introduced me to nu metal in the first place mm-hmm. was when I got Guitar Hero. Because there was
a lot of people did.
A ton of it was nu metal. Yeah. That's how I found Korn.
Yeah.
Freak on a Leash was on there. Yeah. And then also, What I've Done by Linkin Park on this game was the first song that I ever played at 100% on Expert. So, that song has a special place in my heart for those reasons. However, again, don't really want to listen to it anymore. But...
Yep, way to go,
there
man.
There it is.
Way to go.
Thank you.
Yeah. I know there were other bands like the Deftones, Stained. Yeah. I don't want to talk about those bands because it was just like I like a handful of those songs, and I think the Deftones are great. But I think these four bands, I think, really personified the nu metal feel and genre a lot.
Papa Roach.
No.
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 He's nu metal. According to the internet. I would consider him metal.
I'll take it. I'll take that, Alex.
Also, according to the interwebs, you know what pop rock band originally started as nu metal? The first two albums.
No.
Sugar Ray.
Yes. Oh my god.
Their first two albums were considered nu metal.
What the fuck? I have got to go back and listen to that.
I honestly willingly. Don't think I've ever heard it because this was a shock to me when I
found
it.
What the fuck? I'm blown away right now.
Yeah.
Sugar Ray. Like.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any.
And then Sugar they
Ray.
Switched.
Sugar Ray was just shirtless Smash Mouth. They were just like ska rock. They were just funk rock. No.
Apparently, they first started out as nu metal and then switched to pop rock after that. Like many nu metal bands
do. I mean, yeah, because it's, one, more money.
Oh, hell yeah.
And you could be everywhere.
But yeah, apparently their first two albums had a very nu metal sound.
Nu metal can't be played in a JCPenney.
No. I mean, it can be, but it'd be odd.
Yeah. Play it in the bedroom section.
Other bands considered nu metal that I found. Evanescence.
Yes.
Yes. I stan Evanescence.
Yes.
Know this.
Yes.
Let's see. System of a Down.
Oh, so yeah. I didn't put them on here because if I did, we would just talk about them relentlessly. Yeah, I was a big System fan.
Yeah,
I own all their albums.
Mm-hmm. Disturbed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Which, weirdly enough, they put out that cover of The Sound of Silence a few years ago.
Yeah.
That was like, people were amazed.
I'm aware.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I was like, way to go. Because they did a Phil Collins Genesis cover.
If you want like a...
Years back, which wasn't that bad at all.
If you want a more angsty version,
if you want perfect. A goth version, like you're going to be like put to rest in like a tomb.
Yeah, like so the original version is like a quiet depression, like a quiet depression.
This is
and
outward.
This is just a angsty. I'm dying on the inside.
Play it at a seance. Oh, like hell it just yeah. It just makes fucking it's sense.
Great. Also Saliva.
Shitty band.
They're
guys.
Super shitty, yeah.
Click, boom! Like, yeah. Fuck that band.
Super shitty. Shitty still bands. New metal.
Shitty bands. New metal Nirvana, that's what they were.
Kid Rock?
Yes. So Kid Rock was totally new metal.
Oh, yeah.
Totally new metal.
They were all over. Some fun stuff. Do I have anything else here? Oh, trap metal is also a derivative.
Trap metal is a thing, yes.
Yeah. Oh, so one of the things I found... The differences between nu metal versus other types of metal is that nu metal specifically had more of an emphasis on rhythm instead of complexity and mood.
That's very true.
So it was way more of a rhythm thing, and that they drew a lot from like hip hop and rap because of that.
Definitely.
So,
I will say though that with Korn, they definitely developed a mood because a lot of other bands didn't have that sound.
Yeah.
Like when you hear the music, there it was very. Eerie and just like the way like the bass sounded and all the guitar sounds it was very distinct to their sound.
Well, when people have called them like metal, they're like, oh, we don't think we're metal, because when I think of metal, I think of like this other band.
Yeah,
and they were like, no, we think we're more like funk groovy, like that kind
of they
stuff.
Really I hearing some of their songs, I can definitely see it because it's like slow funk metal grooves,
and that's why they're so new metal, because they're metal, but new. They're not just metal.
Yeah. Like, I see what he's saying, but you're still new metal, dude.
Yeah.
You're new metal as fuck.
Oh, I have a great quote.
Yes.
From Rob Flynn of Machine Head.
Wow.
So, specifically, this was in response to people shitting on new metal.
Yeah.
He said, and people calling it rap metal, and like, let's see. So, there's a minute and a half of rapping on that album. The other 53 minutes of the record are like a giant scar being ripped open while I projectile vomit through it. If all people got out of it was rap metal, then they didn't fucking listen to it.
And with that, we will go into Album of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
I have one.
I don't. Go on.
It's on topic. Battle for Los Angeles by Rage Against the Machine. Mm-hmm. That was just such an iconic album for me. It's only 12 songs, and every song hits its mark. Like, Born of a Broken Man is the heaviest shit, and War Within a Breath is one of my favorite riffs. Testify, all of it. Calm Like a Bomb? Calm Like a Bomb? Please go listen to Calm Like a Bomb and wait for that guitar solo. It will melt your brain.
Mm.
It will just melt your brain in that... They were one of the few bands that didn't do any extra post work in the studio. Everything was in the recording. All the effects were made in the recording on the guitar. That's why they're one of the greatest bands ever.
Mm-hmm.
What is your album?
Untitled by Korn.
Way to go.
2007, one of my favorite years of the 2000s, personally.
Wow. Untitled.
Yeah.
Awesome. So... Do you have a topic that we should talk about next week?
Why are you asking me?
Because I guess I have one then.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even remember.
We've crossed out a lot of things.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Warped Tour.
Cool.
All right. We're going to talk about Warped Tour and how it was awesome at some point and then became super, what's the word? They sold out. I guess.
Yeah.
It became too, like, marketized and, like, and then it died.
Yeah.
And now it's coming back again, supposedly.
Yeah, which is so funny to me.
Because last year was the last one.
It was the last one. Then they're like, hey, we're coming back.
Last year was the last one, and they had all the good bands that are like now in their 40s come back.
It's just them fucking with all the emos.
And they're like, hey, we're coming back for a little bit. And it's like, what the fuck? Just fucking die.
They just really wanted those ticket sales.
I know. And so, with that... Just one of those days when you don't want to wake up. Everything is fucked. Everybody sucks. Rip his almost head off.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
I'm going to cut most of that out.
Thanks. no, you have to do your sign-off.
Oh, yeah. I have a new sign-off inspired by 8th grade, directed by Bo Burnham. Gucci.
Fuck you. Oh,